Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and earned a bachelor's degree in political science from Tennessee State University. After serving in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years, he embarked on a 40-year career as a public servant. From 2013 to 2014, he was a State House Minority Floor Leader, serving Michigan's 54th House District. Today, he's a professor of political science at Central Michigan University. His name, David Rutledge. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with a person who has an amazing journey from Lafayette, Alabama, to the State House. Dave Rutledge. Dave, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's special to be on your program.
Can we start by talking about Mom and Dad and your childhood?
I often think of Mom and Dad who've gone on now, and they were both special people. They loved my brother and I. They protected us. They nurtured us. And I am so thankful for them, and I often say I'm thankful for the lineage through which I came. They did a very special thing for me and for my brother and for our family. They prayed for us. And I know this to be a fact because when I came home from college 1 year, I had to help my dad change the carpet in the bedroom, and I couldn't understand why. So he showed me, and there were little marks by the bedside, only place where the carpet was really worn. And so I asked him, why is that? He said, well, son, while you were off in college, we couldn't do a whole lot for you. He said, but what we could do was pray for you. And this is where we did it.
You grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. What was it like in the 50s and the 60s for a black kid in Chattanooga, Tennessee?
I grew up helping Mom and Dad as best I could. My mom was an at-home mom. My dad worked in the foundry, but he was also a Baptist minister. And so I helped earn a living for our family by shining shoes in the local barber shop. So I was a Chattanooga shoe shine boy. And that was special to me. Now, I got to share with you also, Jack, that much of the public service, or in fact, all of it, I became a public servant because of events that happened to me in Chattanooga as a shoe shine boy. And just to share with you a short story, one Saturday, the barber asked me to go to the local corner grocery store to get him a sandwich. I went in, ordered the sandwich, sat down at the counter like I saw other people doing, and a short time after I just sat to wait on the sandwich, a guy came up to me and identified himself as a manager and said, you can't sit there. And so I said, I'm waiting on my order, and before I could say, like other people who are sitting here, he pushed me off the stool. And so there on the floor, I just felt this overpowering humiliation. I wanted to strike out. And I was struck by the fact that nobody came to my rescue. Nobody said anything. Nobody moved, actually. And so when I did manage to get up, I proceeded to order as many things as I could think about, you know. And I stood there and waited for them. They actually prepared two bags of food. And so at that point, when they told me the amount to pay for them, I just walked out. It was the only way that I could think about to just kind of strike back. But that haunted me for a long time. Didn't tell Mom and Dad about this. But it was in the moment of laying on that floor that it struck me that this man must have had rules on his side, because he was an authority, and he forced me, pushed me off the stool, and had nobody helped him, so he must have had everything going for him and the laws on his side. Well, at that point, it was a ninth grade for me. At that point, I said, I want to be where the rules are made, because I want to make sure in my little way do what I can to make sure that rules are made fairly for everyone.
And you did that for the next 50 years.
I was blessed to be placed in a position to do actually that. And that's why I never refer to myself as a politician. I always say I'm a public servant.
You then get a full scholarship to Tennessee State University. You graduate with a bachelor's degree in political science from Tennessee State, and you receive a scholarship from the Rockefeller Foundation for a half-year intensive study at Harvard. And they give you a mentor.
Yes. I often say, Jack, that my steps have been ordered. And this really fits into that. At Harvard, the program was set up so that each of us, there were 27 of us in that program. Each of us had a mentor. Some of us shared a mentor. But my mentor was Thurgood Marshall, became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And Justice Marshall was just to have that privilege to sit down over dinner, to listen to him recant stories about his life and his journey was nothing short of inspirational to me. And in fact, it's where I developed the philosophy of servant leader, which is one of the things that he would repeat to us often as he recanted stories. And the thing that impressed me most is that in many of these situations and stories that he would tell, his own personal well-being was at stake. But he never lost the vision of helping other people, because he had the talent, the know-how, and he thought that he should put that to use helping others.
We're talking to Dave Rutledge, who's a shining example of a person that God has brought angels into his life one after another. We're going to talk about another angel when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dave Rutledge, who since 2017 has been a professor of political science at Central Michigan University. Let's go back to your college days. It's 1964, and you meet a girl named Jerry, an angel from God.
Jack, I believe that angels breathe. And one afternoon, I was coming out of the cafeteria in a rush to get to a class. There were swinging doors. I pushed the door open and virtually knocked over this girl coming in. And she got up from the floor. I'm helping her up, apologizing, and she's looking at me like, I'm just the craziest guy she's ever seen. And that was Jerry, my first meeting with her. And so I saw her the next day in the cafeteria and said, I want to apologize again and ask if you will go out with me. And fortunately, she said yes. And that was the beginning of just a long, long relationship.
A 50-plus year love
story. It was 48 years.
Of marriage.
And I often say that it was interesting because she was born in Ecorse, Michigan. And I met her in Nashville, Tennessee, and I married her in San Diego, California. So it was a journey.
Over lunch, when you talked about her, we lost her a couple years ago, and she died of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, a one-in-a-million disease, and she was a one-in-a-billion person. The love you have for that lady to this day, Dave, is unbelievable.
Well, she was such a special lady, and we had like 48 years of experiences together, and like I say, over 50 years of just knowing her, and often, you know, I am thankful for the time that we had together, the experiences, and you know, Jack, you can watch people, you can be with them, but when it comes to the point of them making their transition from this life to the next, how that occurs and how God allows that to occur, to me, speaks volumes about the life of a person lived. And the Lord, this was one in a million disease that she contracted, but she never complained of pain. The Lord allowed her not to suffer, and her transition was nothing short of beautiful. I say she showed me how to die, and
first she showed you how to live,
no question,
and then how to die.
Yes, and there were a lot of things that surrounded her death that made me understand and know that that the Lord above was watching out and looking after her.
All right, you were a shoeshine boy as a kid.
Yes,
and then in 1967, you joined the Air Force, so you shined a lot more shoes between 67 and 71. What's the biggest thing you learned during your four-year career serving in the U.S. Air Force?
I learned a lot. I was a personnel officer, and my first duty station was San Diego. And so I had to work with up close and personal with airmen and many of them who were transitioning overseas to Vietnam or transitioning back from Vietnam. And so I saw up close the trauma that was caused these individuals. And so the biggest thing that I learned was that to a person, these people who were honored to serve their country and believed deeply that they were doing it in the highest fashion and willing to put their lives on the line. So there were some instances that I think back on where I was a duty officer that would have to go to the home of a person who had lost their life in Vietnam, and from the time I drive up in the driveway to a person's house, I by the time I'm knocking on the door, the parents coming to the door were already had tears in their eyes because it was as if my presence indicated to them that something bad had gone wrong. So the experiences gained, the experiences there, and having to nurture young people who were placing their lives in harm's way was both a privilege and a duty.
All right, then in 1980, God gives you a new phenomenal chapter. You become the second African-American in Michigan history to be the supervisor of a township. and he gave you a Superior Township named Superior Township.
That is correct. The residents of Superior Township, for your listeners, Superior Township is located in the county of Washtenaw in the state of Michigan. And I was privileged to run for office and to win that office, and to this day, I just feel like that was the beginning of my political career. When I was in the ninth grade, I always wanted to be mayor of a city. Never became mayor of a city, but becoming a township supervisor was close. And those are moments and memories I treasure. And I still live in that township. And that township is still well served by the people who are in leadership there right now.
Were you paid superiorly in that Superior Township or no?
My township was superior.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to the next question. All right. Then you decide to run for state legislature. And you run four times, and you lose the first three times. The first time by 300 votes, second time by less than 300, third time closer. So you get shot down three times, and you come back for a fourth. Why?
The why is embedded in deep inside, Jack, and the thing that I want, and the thing that I say every time that I'm in a discussion with young people, is that if you have a dream and you believe in that dream, you don't give up on it because there are setbacks, and in fact, in my instance, every setback was a step forward because I actually gained additional experience in other areas. In all of those instances where I lost, I learned something that helped me when I did become a state legislator. And so, I mean, the message in that part of my journey is to never, ever give up. Even when times get tough, and they will get tough, nobody ever said that the road would be easy. But you have to hang in there. You have to believe that you're on the right path.
You've said that, and I quote, one of the things you learned from those three losses was you learned how to win, that you must touch and spend time with the influencers.
Yes. As I said, there were instances where I'd move to another activity when I lost, but that activity was steeped with experiences that would help me. But what's important is to make sure that you understand that you're not on this journey alone. There are other people who will help you, but you have to be willing to reach out. You have to be willing to open up. You have to be willing to say, I need your help. Will you help me? And this is why I think you should help me. And there were many people of influence that I had those personal conversations with. And that's how I ended up winning, because of the personal time spent with people who touch other people, who started to believe and who saw the enthusiasm and who saw the determination and who saw the commitment in me. So that's how I just keep saying you can't give up on your dreams, and don't be afraid to incorporate other people in those dreams.
We're talking to Dave Rutledge, who then went on to serve Michigan's 54th House District. And I'm Jack Krasulin, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Dave Rutledge. From 2011 to 2016, he was a state representative in the Michigan House of Representatives, serving Michigan's 54th House District. Okay, Dave, anybody who's listening to this show says, wow, this is one special human being. Grace-filled, Christ-centered, a great man. Yet he's a politician. And so we get this resentment for all these politicians, yet many people like their representative. And the animosity, the hatred between the two parties today, it's toxic. What do we do?
You referred to me as a politician, and I always try to keep focused on the fact that I'm a public servant. And you've touched upon something, Jack, that I'm discussing with my class right now, and that is we're studying the process of getting legislation accomplished, getting bills through the process, and we're studying. With that, the lives of legislators. And the life of a legislator is not easy. It is tough. It's time-consuming. And if the legislator cares at all, it's a 24/7 activity. Now, when it comes to actually accomplishing something, every person wants to do that. And the only way that can happen in the framework that's been set up for us to deal with is to somehow form relationships across the aisle. And in my view, that's the answer to the toxic nature of what you see happening now. But let me backtrack a little bit and say, how does it get toxic? There are three C's that we sometimes talk about, and one has to do with the caucus. When you're elected to the state body, you're not just a legislature. You are elected. Your party has a caucus. And the caucus has goals. There are constituents. That is the other piece that you have to pay close attention to. The other C is your conscience, what you actually do and vote on, and whether it fits within the framework of what you said you represented to the people who pull a lever for you that you would do. And whether or not you stray from those principles and values, the three C's I call them, it becomes toxic when these goals, these principles and values start to move away from center and each caucus on whatever side of the aisle you're on, they have a view. And the other side has a view. And how those views mesh together determines whether or not you get anything done. The problem is it takes people from both sides of the aisle to be willing to listen to each other, come together, and then form a way forward. And usually that most often requires some kind of compromise. And you have to be willing to do that.
2013 and 2014, Dave Rutledge was the State House Minority Floor Leader. Some would say you were in a gunfight with a butter knife. How did you get things done?
Well, it's all about relationships. And it didn't matter to me what side of the aisle you sit on. The people of my district sent me to Lansing to get something done. And so I formed relationships where I could. And you don't get to relationships without taking the time to to know someone, to spend time with them, to have break bread, to recreate or do other things with them, just to get to know them, so you understand where they're coming from. There's no right. Nobody has the right answer all the time, and nobody is wrong all the time. But somehow you have to be able to listen, and that's becoming a term of art now. It's hard just to listen, and so that's how I did as minority floor leader. I had a great relationship with the majority floor leader. Had a great relationship with the Speaker of the House. And these were colleagues on the other side of the aisle. But together we worked through. Sometimes I had to be the messenger from the other side of the aisle to my side of the aisle, and sometimes vice versa. But in the end, it was all to try to find a way to come to a good conclusion for the sake of good public policy.
You've lived now 73 springs. Now, this latest one, we haven't experienced it yet. And you lived through segregation as a kid in the South. But you're very young. You got a young soul. You got a very positive outlook on life.
Well, I think it starts with understanding that you are as old as yesterday and as young as tomorrow. You are as old as as your fears, and you are as young as you're willing to take risk. I operate and have moved through this by a simple philosophy, Jack, and it's simply put, I think you have to always wake up each morning with an attitude of gratitude. I think you have to proceed through each day by just being helpful and kind to others. I think you have to try each day to live your life with what I call ethos, ethics. Be ethical in your behavior and in your activities. And never cheat, steal, or lie. There's an old adage that says, if you have to cheat, cheat death and live a long life. If you have to lie, lie down only with the one you love.
We're talking to Dave Rutledge. Another adage that he believes, and I quote him, "Life is about learning to dance in the storm." When we come back, we're going to ask him what that means. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Dave Rutledge, who's the professor of political science at Central Michigan. And in 2013 and 2014, he was the State House Minority Floor Leader. I quote you now.
Yes.
"Life is about learning to dance in the storm."
In the fifth grade, Jack, there was a girl in my class that won a contest. And the reward for that contest was to attend a dance in the gymnasium. The problem was that she didn't have an escort. And so the teacher of the class asked the boys who wanted to escort her to the dance to raise their hands. Nobody raised their hands. And in fact, most of us guys started to slide down in our seat to make ourselves invisible. I slid as far down as I could slide, but the teacher called my name and said, "Mr. Rutledge, you will escort this young lady to the dance." And so I had to walk her down to the gym. She on one side of the hall, me on the other. But when we got to the dance, they were playing the music and other kids were just dancing. Well, I didn't know how to dance, Jack. And I didn't want to say to her I didn't know how to dance, so I just stood alongside the wall. She just kind of stood there beside me, and you know, and finally she said, I think we ought to dance. And I said, I don't know, I don't want to admit this, but I don't know how. And she said, I know how. And she said, come on, let's dance. And she said, take a chance. And so I walked out there with her. And before I knew it, I was following her, and we were dancing. So I that was the beginning of dancing. But let me tell you, through my life, I have been in some tough situations. Tough situations. Everybody, I don't care who you are, or what you have, or what you don't have, you will experience some storms in your life. The question is, how do you deal with them? I suggest that I have learned that a storm doesn't last always, that there's an end. And as long as you can recognize that what you're going through right now is going to end at some point, what you then try to do is make the best of where you are, when you are, until you find yourself seeing blue sky and dancing through it.
We're talking to Dave Rutledge, and his friends say he not only looks like Smokey Robinson, he dances like Smokey Robinson to this day. All right, since 2017, Dave, you've been professor of political science, Central Michigan University, and you sit in the Robert Marjorie Griffin Endowed Chair in American Government.
Yes.
Tell us about that chair and Senator Robert and his wife Marjorie Griffin.
It's hard for me to put into words and convey what I feel inside about the honor it is to have been selected to hold this chair. That was endowed on behalf of these two great people. Senator Robert Griffin, Justice Robert Griffin, his wife Marjorie, a teacher, instructor in her own right. These were graduates of Central Michigan University and shining examples of great public servants. These people just didn't talk it; they lived it, and to represent them. And I'm only the sixth person to hold this chair since it was endowed. So I carry with me each day that I walk into that classroom their spirit, their intensity, and their nurturing and caring about public service and caring about those that come along after them, after me, who will go into this arena that's called public service. And we need to inspire young people to move into this arena, because we need the best of the best.
Speaking of young people, you're with Gen Xers every week.
And they remind me of that.
What do they truly want and need?
What I believe they truly want is truthfulness and guidance, honesty. I think, and I see it in their, I see it in their faces. I see it in the questions that they ask. I see it in their enthusiasm. I see it in between the lines in the papers that they write. They're looking, they're searching. And I think sometimes as adults and in this life we call public service that we fail them because we sometimes are not the most shining examples. And somehow we have to recognize that any of us, no matter what we do or who we are, there's somebody who's looking at us and wants to be like us. And so the best that that I can say is that that we can do the best that we can do in terms of providing the guidance, instruction, and living as ethically, being as ethical example as we can be.
We're talking to Dave Rutledge, an amazing journey from Lafayette, Alabama, to the State House. You created an 11-minute video about your life, and it's first class. And it ends with these words, "To God be the glory." Dave, why do you end that way?
I never forget or take for granted each breath that I take. And where from whence it comes, I believe in a spirituality. God is there, and that we are His representatives, and that we are His instruments, and it behooves us to do the very best that we can while we can. And so that's how I try to move through each day, and it's what I mean when I said, "To God be the glory." When I am doing something as an endowed chair at Central Michigan University, it's not just Dave Rutledge that's doing it. It's to God be the glory that somebody will see me doing what I do, but through what I do, see God.
As our time winds down tonight, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
This is an advice. I have a young listener that's my roommate, who happens to be my grandson, Kelton Jabari Patton.
A great young man, by the way.
And so what I often say to him is, make sure, number one, you make up your bed in the morning. Number two, make sure you have a dream, that there's something you aspire to. Number three, that you're willing to put in what it takes to reach that dream. Never be afraid of work. And always make sure that you're helping somebody else along the way.
Dave Rutledge, we've had 680 guests. We've had some phenomenal people. You're an extraordinary man and a shining example of a true public servant. Keep up the great work.
I am so honored to be in your presence and to have this opportunity. And I'd like to say to you, thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasulo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.